Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Is there any good news to be had at all? Well, there is good news for one couple, and it's a rare thing because it features a happy farmer. Farmer journalist Darren McCullough specifically, and writing for years, of course, about everything agricultural. Friendly lad, does it in a brilliant, breezy way. And his Irish Independent column this week was a little bit more personal because he announced the news that he and his wife, Aoife, 16 years into their marriage, they have welcomed a baby daughter, Grace, with a surrogate mother. Now, we've discovered the family are stuck in North Cyprus. That's the Turkish occupied territory of North Cyprus, where Grace is born. And they're there longer than they anticipated because yesterday they were turned away at the border in the island into the European Union. What has happened there? Well, he's on the line to tell us all about it. Darren McCullough, good morning.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
Very well, but possibly not as well and as happy as you and Aoife are in the last couple of weeks. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks so much. Yeah, we're thrilled with ourselves and really bowled over by all the good wishes that have been coming our way every day via text, WhatsApp, email, you name it. It's great, you know.
Lovely. You're mad busy. When exactly was little Grace born?
She was born about 2.5 weeks ago. She'll be 3 weeks this Sunday. Ah. We got a call. She was actually 3 weeks before her due date. We got a call on a Sunday afternoon. We were at home making the dinner. Yeah. And we got a call to say that our surrogate mother had gone into labour and we needed to book ourselves on a next flight to Cyprus. Ooh. So the next day we were in Dublin Airport on a direct flight to get a direct flight to Paphos in the south of Cyprus.
Really?
And it's a long flight, you know, it's about 4 or 5 hours long. And so we landed and then we jumped into a taxi, drove for 2 hours to the north to the hospital, which was in the north of Cyprus. Of course, the surrogacy commercial surrogacy isn't allowed in the EU. So that's why we were crossing all these borders and going to slightly unusual places like, as you say, the northern territory of Cyprus. And we landed in the hospital at about 12 midnight with all our suitcases and cots and baby formula and quite nervous and ushered up to a room. And inside the room was a nanny who was snoozing and a little baby called Grace. And we were fairly unceremoniously handed a bottle of baby formula and maybe congratulated in Turkish, I'm not sure. And we were left to our own devices.
This is your life now, basically. There you go. Oh, that's extraordinary. That's extraordinary because it's not internationally recognised, this area that you go arrive in the dead of night and you're handed now this responsibility for your lives. How is the little dote doing?
She's doing great. She's feeding great. She's sleeping great. She doesn't scream her head off too much. And we had a little bit of a fright when she had a bit of jaundice and we were called back into the hospital. And of course, the language barrier is quite a thing. Right. And you're kind of getting stuff slightly garbled. But, you know, amongst all the garbled phrases, we picked up the possibility of neurological damage. And we kind of went from 0 to 90 then in terms of panic mode. And we were readmitted to hospital. Grace went into a phototherapy machine. It's basically a sunbed for babies. And she was in that for about 12 hours, which we've subsequently realized is quite common for newborn and not something to be freaking out about. But, you know, when you're on your tod in a country where very few people speak your language, you kind of are freaking out. And but thankfully, all is good and we're here now, and Aoife's just after giving Grace a little feed and she's slumbering away blissfully on the bed.
For now, for the short window.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So it's all good.
There were no issues at all. You must remember that moment when you picked her up and held her for the first time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all a kind of a mad mix of adrenaline, excitement and nervousness and terror and joy. And, you know, at the end of maybe 15 years of trying to start a family, this is what we hoped and dreamed of. And to be honest with you, the moment when I felt most emotional about it was when we first took her out in the pram on the street. And that was just an image that we had dreamed of for a long time.
Oh, that you just really wanted to be a dad, to be a parent.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's in some ways, look, I mean, part of me had maybe resigned myself to the possibility that, you know, we wouldn't have a family and that was fine. You know, we were happily married as far as I know. And, you know, we're lucky in many respects, but we had a lot of ups and downs through IVF, and even this surrogacy journey was not straightforward and is not straightforward, because we're not there yet in terms of getting Grace home, as you alluded to. So, look, we're delighted to have got this far. But, yeah, it's been, I suppose, it's part of the reason why we've had such a wave of good wishes coming our way. You know, I mean, people realise that it has been a long and tough journey.
Married as 16 years, and you tried to have children. You went the IVF route. It didn't work out. There must have been very devastating times.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're kind of, you know, it's all... all those kind of ups and downs happen behind closed doors. It's not the kind of thing that you're chatting to your parents or even your best pals about. It's an incredibly private thing. And even, you know, when we realized that we had a pregnancy with a surrogate mother, we didn't say anything to anybody until about 3 months ago. So,
including your own family,
you know. Absolutely, yeah. Because, I mean, we had been down this road so many times before, right. And we just didn't, yeah, we didn't want to be counting our chickens, if you know what I mean, before they hatched. And, yeah, so, like, we had tried IVF. By the time we had exhausted IVF, I think we were effectively too old to qualify for adoption, and adoption was tricky and a long process. And surrogacy wasn't something that, you know, we entered into lightly, because, you know, it prompts lots of uncomfortable conversations about the welfare of everybody involved in that process.
Yeah.
But, you know, we thought about it. In fact, don't laugh too much at this, but I was at a stag party, not your typical place where you have deep and meaningful conversations about anything, let alone surrogacy. But I happened to meet another chap at that stag, and over a few pints, we chatted about his journey. I learned that he had had a child by surrogacy. And that was kind of the moment when I realized that, you know, this is something that ordinary Joe soaps actually can do. It's not the preserve of the Kardashians or, you know, the rich and famous type thing. It is an expensive process. It is a slow process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have legal representation, a lawyer in Ireland, Annette Hickey, who is brilliant. We have a lawyer over here in Cyprus. The surrogate mother has a lawyer. The embassy is all lawyered up. I mean, we have appointments every other day for DNA tests and all kinds of red tape and bureaucracy. And as you mentioned, we hoped we had got nearly all the way there, in the sense that we had all the documentation that up to this point had allowed couples to travel across the border from northern Cyprus to the south, to the Greek part of Cyprus, where then we could travel home to, you know, other parts of the EU. But when we got to the border, the guards basically waved us away, and the taxi driver informed us that the laws had changed the day before and we just need more paperwork. And this is a national holiday here.
The Turkish border guards.
Yeah, Turkish border guards. Okay. So we have to present more paperwork to the Turkish Interior Ministry or some ministry. And there's a national holiday here for the next couple of days. So we're basically holed up. I was really annoyed about it at the time, but look, at the end of the day, all we lost was a bit of accommodation that was booked in the south for a couple of days. Yeah. And you could, as a lot of people point out to me, you could be stuck in worse places, Dara.
It is obviously because of the legal issues. That's the issue, isn't it? Getting across the border. Do you have to prove that you're both the biological parents? What's the holdover? What are they requiring you to do to get out and back into the EU next week?
Yeah, so I've gone through a DNA test and they've taken DNA from Grace as well. So that is going through a process of verification. In fact, the samples are being DHL'd back to Ireland, as far as I know. Yeah. They're going to be processed in Ireland. And then the results are sent back to the embassy here in Cyprus. And once we have all that, then the embassy is in a position to issue an emergency travel certificate.
Right. And in the meantime, you've got a 3-week-old baby to look after with the wake window, feeding time, nap time, moving around, accommodating. Yeah. That's quite a time for you, for yourself and Aoife.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's lovely here in Cyprus. I mean, the temperatures are lovely. The sun is shining. But I am dying to get home, to be honest with you.
How long? When do you think that's going to happen?
A little bit of that. I'd say I'm hopeful that it might be about 10 days. But, you know, who knows? Because, as I said, and, you know, as our experience yesterday proved, there's no guarantees. I guess that this is, you know, nothing is kind of standard in terms of all the process that's involved in surrogacy, and it is quite sensitive, and so you just have to be patient. Yeah. And
can I ask about the surrogate mother now, Dara? It's Natalia.
Yeah.
She's Ukrainian.
Yeah.
How is she doing?
She is indeed. Yeah, she's doing great. So we've met her a couple of times, and she's doing really well. She has two kids of her own already. Mm-hmm. And we had gone to the Ukraine. I mean, you could go to America, Mexico, India, all kinds of different places to do surrogacy. Again, it was kind of based on the fact that a lot of other Irish couples had gone to the Ukraine for their journey in surrogacy. We figured, look, why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? Let's do the exact same. And I mean, what's extraordinary, Oliver, is that you know, we landed out here, as I say, in the dead of the night. The next day, we met another Irish couple in the same hospital with their baby who had just been born via surrogacy. Right. And yesterday, we were leaving the hospital, a final appointment, and we met another couple from Kerry who have just welcomed their little baby, who coincidentally is also called Grace. Oh. And I suppose their experience put ours a little bit into perspective, because their little baby is still stuck in intensive care, and she had a little operation. Thankfully, it all went well, and I want to send out my best wishes to Paddy and Juliet, who, you know, are going through the process. And just, it's like, it's scary, you know, when you have something so helpless depend on you in a country where you're basically on your tod.
And I presume one of the reasons couples use North Cyprus is because there are no regulations, are there, on surrogacy one way or the other, whereas a commercial surrogacy is legal in Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a very tightly controlled process. It's not like a Wild West or anything like that. But it's just that outside of the jurisdiction of the EU, commercial surrogacy is allowed in lots of different regions. And the Turkish authorities, I guess, are one of those. So, that's why we're here. I mean, that was the reason why we went to the Ukraine in the first place, because, again, the Ukrainian authorities are okay with commercial surrogacy, and that opened the door for us.
There are, unfortunately, quite a lot of concerns too, though, aren't there? Even in Ukraine, journalistic investigations have reported inhuman, abusive treatment of surrogate mothers. I'm just reading this in The Guardian. These are the sort of uncomfortable conversations, I presume, you had when deciding to go down this road.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the welfare of, as I said, of the surrogate, of our baby, of everybody involved in this process is, you know, absolutely crucial to us. You know, so far so good, Oliver. There's very few things in this world that are perfect, but so far so good for us.
Very good. And Natalia, she will just go back to Ukraine with her family, because her family's there, two kids.
Exactly, yeah. So when we...
She has no biological connection to Grace.
Correct, yeah. And in fact, this is the second time she has been a surrogate mother. So, I mean, I didn't know whether that was reassuring or not, but she seems to be, you know, we've had the chats and exchanged contacts, and we plan to stay in contact. And she knitted gorgeous little outfits for Grace. And, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with the relationship we have with her.
Okay. When you come home to Ireland, are there more legal issues awaiting you there? What are the rules nowadays here?
Oh, man. Do you know what, Oliver? I haven't even applied my brain to all the legal stuff that we have to jump through when we get home. The first things first, we need to get home. But I do know that we are going to have to apply through the courts for Aoife to have guardianship of Grace. And of course, this is kind of the anomalies of the situation that we've, you know, where the realities on the ground have leaped ahead of the legislation, and we really need the legislation to catch up. You know, Aoife is taking unpaid leave because she's not entitled to any maternity leave, paid maternity leave. And look, we're lucky that we can do that. And
she's a teacher, is that right, Dara?
Be that way. She is indeed, yep. Yes. She's a teacher in a local school.
No maternity leave for her when she gets home. And
correct.
That seems very difficult. And in terms of being both recognised as the parents, that's the challenge. But the laws have changed here and been updated recently.
They've changed somewhat, but I think it hasn't gone the full way in terms of what surrogate parents require. So, as I say, Oliver, I haven't really plugged my brain into all of that yet.
You know what has to be done, but you haven't mapped it out in your head. I presume that adds more and more expense. And this sounds like it is a very expensive thing to do.
Yeah, look, I mean, without putting too fine a point on it, you're not going to have a whole pile of change out of 100 grand between the to and fro. To some places in the world that are cheaper, some places are more expensive. But with all the legals, and I mean, I suppose, dare I say it, it was reassuringly expensive. You know, you were asking about the welfare of the surrogate and, you know, that everybody's been looked after. And I suppose I felt that if you went for the cheapest option out there, you ran the risk of maybe the welfare not being as you would like it.
And is the clinic and everyone involved up front about who gets what money in terms of the surrogate mother? She's obviously doing it as a financial transaction as well.
Absolutely, yeah. The clinic have been answered any questions we've had, and we've had no problems with that. I mean, it's tricky. To be honest with you, the trickiest part of the process I have found is the last 2 weeks, you know, where you're on the ground here and just trying to get home as quickly as possible and trying to navigate your way through legalese, you know, to ordinary Joe Soaps, what's an affidavit? What does apostolizing mean? What does a notary do? There's all these legal terms that you have to get your head around and get familiar with and know what you're doing. And this, you know, we're paying an agency to help guide us through that process. And as I say, we have various legal advisors and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, the book stops with us, you know, we have to make it happen.
and have and the little 3 week old knocking around with you too. I think unusual
people
to
go on.
And appreciate your frankness on everything here, Dara, because we don't often hear, do we, from many Irish parents, in particular Irish ones who have children with surrogate mothers. And you mentioned meeting other ones. We won't mention names, but it is something that's happening that we don't hear much about. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I think it's perfectly understandable and natural. I mean, couples, you know, the every couple or most couples want to conceive naturally, and that's the easy way to do it, and that's the way it should be. But when it doesn't happen, there's a million different reasons why it doesn't happen, and every one of them is a personal one. And so, you know, that's, I'm sure, a big reason why people don't go on national radio and go into national newspapers spilling all the beans, so to speak. And, you know, I mean, I have to say, I've told our story because I hope that it illustrates for other couples out there who may be struggling to conceive or to start a family that this is an option. This is a possibility. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it is a real possibility out there. And yeah, and that was my main motivation for being as honest as I am.
You've been through a tough time, yes, and this is a good outcome. I was listening to Ray Darcy the other day in his show. They were discussing fertility issues, and we heard from one woman who said they avoided family gatherings because they were just sick of people asking when were they going to have children. And it was obviously devastating because there were things going on in the background.
Yeah, I mean, and as a farmer, very often one of the first questions you get asked is, and have your family coming after you, type thing, you know?
Yeah.
And there's not necessarily an expectation, but it's, you know, it's tradition. It's the norm for a farm to be handed down from generation to generation. And I was lucky enough to inherit a fine farm, as they say, in County Meath. And so, yeah, there was always that little hole, I suppose, maybe in the background. And I don't want to, you know, make too much of it because, you know, if we hadn't succeeded in starting a family, it's not that, you know, our lives would have been empty and a failure or anything like that. It was just a little gap in the background. And now we've filled it.
Grace is getting a farm.
Yeah, well, she's no competition at this point anyway. Yeah. So, so it'd be great to get her back there and get her togged out in the wellies and the overalls as soon as she's fit to carry buckets.
It's interesting, isn't it, though? Farmers do think about that, as where does this all go afterwards, because you're spending your whole time working
away.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's daft, isn't it? Because, you know, a dentist doesn't dream about, I don't think too ardently about handing on their dental practice to the next generation. Or if you own a shoelace factory, you're probably not too worried about who is there after your time is done. But farmers do obsess about who gets the farm and having it passed on to the next generation. But I suppose it's the fact that maybe, you know, typical businesses aren't inherited and they're not passed down through the generations. So there is that aspect. And so, it's a beautiful thing to be able to try and continue that on.
How is Aoife doing, by the way?
She is doing great. She's giving me the thumbs up there in the background. And life is good, and she's thrilled with Grace, and all is good. Thanks.
Just want to get home, and I'm sure there are grandparents and aunts and uncles dying to see you as all home.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah. Yeah, we get texts nearly every second day, kind of going, are you coming home yet? Are we nearly there?
Well, I hope all the legal complications are cleared up and you get home as soon as possible to County Meath. And good luck. And there's lots of messages, Dara, to you and Aoife, wishing you well and wishing the surrogate mum well as well. But mostly to the little family heading to Meath, which is yourself, Aoife, and Grace, the McCulloughs.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Oliver. We're dying to get home and show her off to everyone. And fingers crossed, it'll all happen now in the next week or two.
Thanks a million. Good luck and congratulations again. Now, wasn't that a nice story to warm you up on a Friday? Wonderful story, says Dara, says this texter. We are also farmers in County Leash. We welcomed our miracle son who was born via surrogacy in 2020. Well done for spreading the word. And a big welcome to young Grace McCullough into the world as well. Best wishes to Darren Eve on the arrival. It's great to hear good news stories, says a Dublin listener. Delight for Darren Eve. It's amazing. Well done to the surrogate for helping them. Very interesting. How is the surrogate doing? Yes, we covered that. That's Natalia in Ukraine. Please extend congratulations to Darren and his wife. Thrill for them. Well, that's Martine in Sligo. And someone saying there are ethical concerns about surrogacy, including concern for the welfare of the surrogate mother. Would love to know how they came to this presumably very difficult decision. Well, I think we covered that, and they were very concerned themselves about it and want to make sure they were going the right route. And a lot of it is discussions with other parents going through the same thing who've done it before and so on. And the congratulations continue to flow as well, which is lovely